Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the midweek edition of the Yard. Hope things are going well for you. Hope it's been a good week. A little bit better weather this week up in the greater Starkville area. It's a beautiful day today. Love it, man. Love living up here. I do. I'm not happy about the inconveniences that we face here in the weeks to come. For those of you who don't know, there's going to be several highway projects. It will make us a little more convenient, I guess, in some respects. But yeah, there's going to be some growing pains. You know, we got downtown under construction. 182 is under construction. Now we're about to do this stuff around Stone Boulevard and Highway 12. And it's going to be interesting. It is. I joked last night in a Facebook group. I said, we have now officially reached the you can't get there from here phase of the construction. But in the end, we want a greater Starkville. And in case you don't know, on 12 at the campus entrance right there by Stone Boulevard is going to be a roundabout. And so I don't know how that's going to work. I think about all of our regular Highway 12 traffic. And that comes in off 82. Like, how is that going to be impacted? Are we going to have a bottleneck there on game day or not? I don't know. I guess we'll see. But nonetheless, I am grateful that we're doing some good things to make Starkville a better place. But yeah, the next time most of you come to town, things are going to look and be a little different. And it's going to take some time to get everything done, but I trust that our leadership here in Starkville are making the right decisions to make this a better, more progressive place when it comes to infrastructure. So that's where we are. And I don't remember the actual dates, but they have prepared us. They've done their best to prepare us. But you and I both know there are going to be so many people that don't do that. I can tell you, 182 right now, I feel for those local businesses that are having to deal with all of that, especially during the holiday season. You're having to make a real effort to get there. Oh, not to mention, we got the crossroads stuff too. That's already been, they've already knocked down some buildings, already got some fences up and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of progress in the greater Starkville area. But I think about our neighbors that are small business owners that are having to kind of deal with, you know, the inconvenience of it all. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there are some places in town I just avoid. Just because my anxiety gets so elevated, right? It's like, where am I going to park? You know, it's tough. It really is. But in the end, I suspect it'll all be worth it. I just hope that some of our smaller business owners can endure and overcome the challenges. And so if you are someone that loves a small business in Starkville, Mississippi, let me encourage you to do a little online shopping and kind of support them a little bit, because it is. It's been kind of a necessary evil in some respects. We need to make some progress, but everybody is somewhat inconvenienced. And I can tell you downtown is a mess. It is. But what I try to do is see the bigger picture. So I'm just trying to kind of hang in here with you guys and kind of let you know what's going on and encourage you to think about small business in Starkville. You love Starkville. I know it's your favorite city in the world, even if you don't live here. And so the greater Starkville area merchants could use your support. So as you make your final holiday online shopping decisions, consider a small business here in Starkville, Mississippi. Speaking of great Starkville businesses, Bulldog Burger Company has been there to serve us. Man, the Eat With Us group has been such a part of your Mississippi State experience over the years. We've talked about it many times before, whether it's been celebrating a graduation or perhaps a rehearsal dinner, or just kind of getting out enjoying some time with your kids. Maybe your son or daughter are a student at Mississippi State, and when it's time to come pay a visit, chances are you pick an Eat With Us restaurant. I would encourage you, Bulldog Burger Company, not just a Starkville power. Three great locations to serve you. Of course, University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. And maybe you're thinking about that Mississippi State students you got in your family. Maybe it's your favorite niece or nephew. Maybe it's your grandson, your granddaughter. Maybe go visit the eatwithus.com website and maybe get a gift card to allow them to have a night out on you, right? Maybe it's a date, maybe it's a day with friends, or maybe they just use it all for themselves, and that's cool too. Maybe you've forgotten what it's like to be a starving college student. Great idea. Eatwithus.com, go get the gift cards, and you get that handled right away, right? And it's a great gift. Available to use that in all three locations, as you guys are well aware. But Bulldog Burger Company, of course, a longtime sponsor of the show. We love them. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Find your own favorites on the menu. If you're a newbie, I would suggest the Bulldog. You can't go wrong there. Even if that's the only hamburger you ever ate the rest of your life, you would live life and live it more abundantly. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, we had our first media availability for Wake Forest yesterday. And I typed those articles up yesterday. One ran yesterday, one ran in the wee hours of the morning. But Wake Forest, man, they got some issues too. Like, everybody thinks it's only happening to us. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to get a couple of articles out to you yesterday, just to kind of provide some context. Because when we live in the big maroon bubble, we're only acutely aware of what happens with our team. And we think it only happens to us. And you're wrong. As of yesterday, unless there have been some declarations in the last 12 hours or so, Wake Forest got 17 players expected to go in the portal. According to the press conference yesterday, also going to have four or five regular players out for the game as they have had season-ending surgery. Now, some notable decisions here. Damon Claiborne. If you don't know anything about Damon Claiborne, he's one of the better running backs in the country. And certainly in the ACC, he was a Doak Walker finalist in 2024. This year, 907 yards on 179 carries and 10 touchdowns, averaging about 76 yards a game. And in many respects, he is the straw that stirs the drink. He makes that zone read scheme work. Because you have to respect Robbie Ashford as a runner. But Claiborne is really the guy that you're worried about. Does that make sense? Because the threat of Claiborne breaking a big one is part of the scheme, I guess, when it comes to Robbie Ashford, right? The fear of Claiborne gives Ashford more opportunities to be effective as a runner. And so when you remove that threat, maybe you're a little more inclined to kind of focus on a QB run. The second most productive running back on that team is a sophomore, Ty Clark, who had just 232 yards and three touchdowns, averaging 19 yards a game. So this is a very, very significant development. Damon Claiborne is a senior, but plans to play in the East-West Shrine Game and is not expected to play in the bowl game. And just kind of running some things back for him. He was over 1,000 yards last year. Preseason All-ACC guy. Doak Walker Award preseason watch list. Walter Kemp, Player of the Year preseason watch list. Paul Horning Trophy watch list. A lot of things. And again, when you consider losing one of your top offensive players, it's a significant development, especially one that is really kind of the linchpin of your offense. But in 4 years, he has 2,599 yards, with the bulk of that coming in the last two seasons. He's accounted for 26 touchdowns, 21 of those in the last 2 years, and of course 10 this year on the rushing side, and also pitched in a couple of receiving touchdowns in 24, not so much this year. But, you know, they keep you honest a little bit, kind of get it out there to him, do some creative things in a running game. Now, along those lines, too, we talk about portal players. So far, Mississippi State has not lost a exceptionally productive player to portal declarations. Jake Dickert said yesterday that all the players in the portal – are projected to go in the portal are not going to play in the bowl game for Wake Forest. That includes leading receiver Chris Barnes. 39 catches, 547 yards, 3 touchdowns. Leads the Demon Deacons in all receiving statistical categories. Now, a couple other guys have done a pretty good job this year, but they've only had 2 receivers catch 30 or more passes, Carlos Hernandez being the other. But to lose your leading rusher and your leading receiver ahead of a bowl game is not great news. Now, Barnes is also the 4th leading rusher on the team. Not a ton of opportunities, but when you begin to factor in this is a team that likes to run the football and do some RPO stuff, you got to be able to establish the run, and now 2 of your 4 leading components to the rushing game are no longer available. I think that is rather significant. I think you would agree with that. Now, defensively, the majority of the players that are still with the team are guys that made some kind of contribution. Most of the guys that got in the portal that really haven't been getting a lot of playing time, that's not going to have a big impact on things. You know, the one guy that is in the portal on the defensive side of things, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce his name. I am. It's Mateen Ibaragbe. That's the best I can do. 21 tackles this year, a couple sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hurries. He is the most significant player on defense not to be there. Wore big number 99 as a defensive lineman. Defensively, Nick Anderson is the guy. Right? He absolutely is. He is a safety. Could have gone pro last year, elected to come back. He's not the biggest guy, though, but he is very active. 94 tackles. He was part of their media availability yesterday. Got 7 pass breakups this year. No interceptions, but is a guy that will play close to the box, as you would expect with 94 tackles. You don't get that by playing one high safety. But he's going to be back. The majority of the defense is expected to be back. And again, we haven't had the names disclosed about which players may be injured and not a part of this. You know, Langston Hardy is a problem. Where's number 11? You know, 67 tackles this year, 17 of them for loss, 7 sacks, 8 quarterback hurries. He is a problem. He is an absolute matchup nightmare, long, lengthy guy. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how we defense him. But I think this defensive team from Wake Forest, you know, obviously has some issues. But for the most part, we should see them intact. One of the things that's interesting to me, too, and of course, I transcribe a lot of press conferences, not just ours, but I do a lot of opponent work throughout the season. The Wake Forest media yesterday, and again, it's their first availability because they took a couple of weeks off and just got back to it. Yesterday was the first practice back in pads. But they have not really asked him any questions about Mississippi State. Coach was asked one question, and one player, an offensive lineman, was asked one question. And so maybe everybody's just trying to kind of find their legs and figure out how this thing is going to work. I don't know. But I can promise you this, Mississippi State is focused on Wake Forest. And I'm sure they're focused on what they're trying to do. You know, but I just find it interesting. Again, you know, the media is not always indicative of what the team is feeling. But I just find it interesting that nobody even asks about Mississippi State. It's like you get the obligatory question to the coach, but it's just not as, I don't know, it's just one of those things that I think about. And there's a player, too, that has done a good job for them that you're going to be somewhat familiar with. I was looking at this yesterday. Coach mentioned him, and I said, that's got to be the same guy, right? Yeah, it's Ladarius Webb. Remember him? You remember him? Yeah, Mississippi State recruited him out of Opelika, Alabama. Maybe you remember him. But he has done a really good job for them. 5'9", 168-pound defensive back. And if I remember correctly, a lot of people wanted him to play running back. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to note exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family, it could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not, and that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
But he's been incredibly productive for them. And a guy that's just kind of emerged here as of late, you know, spent some time with Oklahoma State, South Alabama. But that's maybe a name that you're like, hey, Steve, did we recruit him? Yes, we did. But I wanted to kind of get you abreast of kind of what's happening with those guys at Wake Forest, just because of the fact that it's important to understand. I guess we've had, 18 players go in the portal. They've had 17, and, of course, they've got some guys that are banged up and injured. We got some guys that are banged up and injured, too, and we got one or two that may miss the bowl game for that reason, and we'll just kind of keep that under our hat for now. And yeah, it's probably somebody you know, obviously. If you follow the team this closely and listen to the show, you do. But I think it's one of those things where we get caught up kind of keeping up what's going on with us, and then we don't kind of realize that everybody is kind of dealing with the same things. There's no question about that. The calendar, when it comes to how college football works, there's never any way to make it perfect. Like, everybody's like, well, you know, it's so unfortunate the portal opens the same day that State and Wake Forest play. What are some truth to that? But we have a lot of people that don't have game day responsibilities. And you forget about that aspect of it, too. It's not like everybody is involved with game planning. There are some people that have nothing to do with game planning and nothing to do with game day management. All they do all year long is recruit, scout, and evaluate. Well, that's not going to change. Now, you'd love to be able to make your first calls to those guys, and the good thing is we play at 7 that night. Yes, it's game day, but I suspect that there will be some text and some calls made from the Mississippi State staff that morning on January 2nd. I think everybody we'll feel pretty good about that aspect of things. That, you know, we got a late game, we don't have to get a late start to the portal stuff. And so there's no need to worry about that aspect of it. Now, looking at the news as of late on the betting line, with the news of some of these opt-outs at Wake Forest, Mississippi State is now a bigger favorite in this game. The spread is now up to 4 points. And a couple of lines have stayed at now 4.5. This is an 8-4 Wake Forest team playing within their home state in Charlotte, which is about an hour and 10 minutes away from campus, that is an underdog to a Mississippi State team that went 5-7. And the thing that I think about is, even under normal circumstances, we should probably expect to win this game. But when they have so many offensive pieces that are not expected to play, we have to win this game. And I believe it opened at 2.5 and then went to 3, and now it's up to 4. By the time that we get into game day, you know, it could be a little bit higher. But it's just an interesting dynamic to see how this line has moved a little bit as the news of, you know, kind of roster retention and roster management has kind of come out. So, again, your Bulldogs favored currently by 4 points in the game. And as I've shared many times on this show, this is the final opportunity for us to kind of showcase ourselves before the portal opens. This is a chance for us to go out there and show wide receivers and offensive line, other players, that, hey, we have a building block with Kamario Taylor. We're going to build an offense around him. We've got Fluff Bothwell coming back. We need to go out there and win this game, and I think win it looking good. And maybe you don't win it big, but you need to go out there and show that you know what you're doing. Our offensive execution has to be really good. Has to be. You have to use this as a showcase for Kamario Taylor and Fluff Bothwell to positively influence some wide receivers to come into this program. And I'm never going to worry about wide receivers as long as Jeff Lebby's here and this offensive scheme is what we're going to run. It is conducive to good wide receiver play, and you've seen that. You know, Kevin Coleman didn't do much at all before he got to Mississippi State, and then he becomes a star. And then he goes to Missouri and has 2 receiving touchdowns up there. Does that make sense? It's true. And so then you have Vernon Thompson, who had not done a lot at Texas or Oklahoma. He comes here and he is, second leading receiver in the SEC. Anthony Evans had not done a lot at Georgia. He was basically a return guy. He comes in and becomes a kind of a household name. He had some drop issues, but got to get better. So I think we're going to be able to attract wide receivers every year. Since we have been together, of course, there's been a run of players that have announced they're going to hit the portal. Just kind of getting you caught up here in case you didn't know. Joseph Head Jr., another guy from Holmes County Central, you know, one of the first commitments to his class, hung in here for a while. It just hasn't worked out. Fat Forrest, formerly known as Fat Clark, a guy that's basically been a special teams guy. We liked him when we took him, beat Ole Miss to get him. And my hope is he'll withdraw from the portal and stay. I don't think that he's put enough on film at this point that he's going to command, you know, a lot of money on the rev share, the NIL side. I just don't think that's the case. But I'd like to keep Fat. I would. Max Reese, tight end, transferred in last year from Eastern Michigan, only played in 4 games. I mean, we just didn't see a lot of value in him. Red shirts and going to go back in the portal. Offensive lineman Jimothy Lewis, a guy that at one point was considered the number one offensive lineman in the country in his class, and of course that changed. And didn't have a great senior year at IMG, but a guy that's got all the athleticism in the world. But for one reason or another, it just has not come together for him at Mississippi State. Part of me, I wonder if he's not a guard. And maybe he's not comfortable playing guard. But that's one of the things that I look at. You guys kind of saw it too. I mean, there were just so many times this year when he was playing left tackle that it was just a bum rush over there. Quality young man from a great family. We wish him the best, but I don't think there's much question that he's going to be somewhere else. Furzell Shepherd was a young man that was a late qualifier at a Scotlandville high school and worked this year as an academic redshirt. Went home and I won't say he essentially quit the team, but I guess for all intents and purposes, that's what it boils down to. Same situation for Lojack, Laquavian Jackson. He hadn't been with us for a while. Another guy that went home during an open date and just really never came back. And I don't know how much he loves football. I don't know what that means for him long term. You know, we get confirmation, you know, that he's not going to be back and you know, put up that portal story. And then tied in Emeka Aloy. You remember him? He played at Oklahoma, then sat out a year. And then, you know, massive athlete. But watching him in practice, you could just tell. He's just a guy that's kind of gotten by on being big. He doesn't have SEC skill. So we give it a shot, and now he's in the portal. And, you know, maybe he'll find an opportunity to play somewhere, perhaps on the FCS level. But I still think the guy has some upside. I just don't think it's a scenario where, you know, where you've got time to invest in him. Not any more time. You gave it a shot. It didn't work out. Now you move on. And what's interesting about this, Jacob Bain wrote this piece yesterday. We made it free. The numbers are free anyway. But we compiled everything just to kind of give you guys some context kind of about where things sit and stand. Because, again, and I love you all to death. Some of you make my head hurt, but I love you all to death. We have a lot of people that get really, 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 really wound up and bent out of shape when somebody leaves. And there are many times that we don't even know, or the casual fan doesn't even know who these players are. You just see a guy hit the portal, you know. And so we wanted to give you guys a little bit of context here. Just to kind of make sure you understand, hey, you know, we want guys to stay, we want guys to develop, but more importantly, we want guys to contribute. You know, this is not a scenario where, you know, we just want a guy to come in and just get his education. You've got to be able to help out. So I'm going to run this down for you real quick just to kind of frame it up for you, okay? All right, so Jordan Mosley, we love J-Mo, we do, appeared in 12 games, 8 catches for 168 yards and a touchdown against Alcorn State, if memory serves me correct. Maybe it wasn't Alcorn State, but he scored one touchdown. Stonka Burnside, who we hope to get back, played in 4 games, had 1 tackle. Cam Thompson transferred in, you know, from Northern Illinois, played in 3 games, no stats. Terrence Hibbler played in 1 game, made 1 tackle. A.J. Lewis was basically run off. Didn't play this year. Jaquan Bolden played 1 game. Jerron Glover played in 6 games. Didn't record a stat. Alex Lopez, walk-on lineman from Bayou Academy, I think, played 1 game. Brennan Smith, hurt much of the year, played in 3 games. Corey Clark, a guy that we signed 2 years ago in the summer. JUCO guy with nowhere to go. Played in 3 games, made 4 tackles. Marcus Allen played every game, mainly on special teams, had 1 catch for 7 yards. Joseph Head played special teams, had 6 tackles. Played a little bit on defense, too. I'm not going to sell him short. We talked about Fat Clark, special teams guy, had 1 tackle. Max Reese, 1 catch for 2 yards. I think that was against Southern Miss. Jimothy Lewis played in 7 games. You guys saw him. And then Frizzell and Lojack didn't play any. And so to kind of summarize that, we're losing a total of 13 tackles and 10 catches for 177 yards and 1 touchdown. Okay? So the majority of the players that have declared for the portal are guys that made little to no impact here. And so when you compare us to what Wake Forest is dealing with right now, it appears State clearly has the advantage when it comes to bringing your 2025 team to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Now, there are going to be some guys, of course, that elect to move on. I suspect that we're probably at a point now where most of the declarations for the portal are done. There'll be some others. I mean, like Johnny Daniels, right? And I think Johnny could help us, but I don't coach a football team. And Johnny had a good year for us last year. And, you know, Johnny Daniels is a guy that you kind of took the voluntary red shirt, and he's going to transfer. And maybe he goes to Southern Miss and has a good run down there. I don't know. A'shaun Shepherd is another one. You know, we had a lot of junior college guys that we came in that, you know, we needed depth and practice guys for, and they're just not going to play here. But so, you know, there's going to be a few more that'll happen between now and then. My hope is that we get all this done, you know, before we even leave for the bowl site. Because the last thing we want is, even though the players know, to be fair to the fans, we don't need any declarations the day of the game. Right? And there may be some guys that don't make a public declaration, and all of a sudden that pops up. Again, it's not going to be news to your coaches and players, because they will have already traveled to Charlotte. We know who's going to be on the bus, right? But I want you guys to be able to enjoy game day, and hopefully us getting a win over Wake Forest in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. But be mindful, when we get ready to take the field at Bank of America Stadium, there's going to be a player or two that you'll want to be out there that won't be out there. Understand that before we even get there. So, and again, we're going to meet with Mississippi State players today, this afternoon. You can find full coverage of that over at jeanspage.com. It is now time to award our Close with Blair Player of the Day. I guess pretty soon we're going to have to change sports, and I think we'll do that today. How about that? It's our show. We can do what we want to do. Yeah, brought to you by Close with Blair. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Yeah, it's true. If you're looking for a home and maybe the dream of home ownership has eluded you before, it may be because you had the wrong loan officer. Blair Chandler's got 25 years of experience. He knows all the ins and outs of underwriting. He can be your advocate with those who underwrite those loans. He knows how to construct these loans to give you the best chance of approval. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, Blair Chandler, the only name to know. His phone number, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Be sure and hit him up today. That number goes directly to him. That's his personal cell, okay? We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair and have given us rave reviews of the service they've received, right? So I encourage you, save that number in your phone as mortgage guy, because you never know when you're going to need him. Sometimes life can be tricky. Sometimes you've got to relocate. Let Blair help you with some of the heavy lifting and help get you into a home and get off the hamster wheel of renting, where you're basically just paying somebody else's house note and building equity in their property, and you have nothing to show for it in the end other than a few pictures, right? That's not home. You're living in somebody else's house. Find your own home and let Blair Chandler help you at closewithblair.com. Okay, we're going to go with Josh Hubbard, and we'll talk more about Josh later in the show, but the reality of it is Josh Hubbard, the game in Tupelo, played just 2 minutes, and like all of you, when we saw him go down, I thought, holy smokes, this is the last thing in the world that we need. Go out to Utah, he plays significantly, still wasn't quite right, but played, and we get the win, and then he plays big again last night, and State needed him to. Again, more on that game a little bit later. But how about Hub, a healthy Hub, or rounding back into great health Hub, showing up when his team needs him. And without Josh, listen, we did some pretty good things offensively against San Francisco. We couldn't get stops. But Josh Hubbard is the heart and soul of this team. And so he is your Close with Blair Player of the Day. All right, time for today's Top 10 List is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com. That is a Mississippi State owned and operated music store in Lake Jackson, Texas. They specialize in stringed instruments, primarily guitars, but they can help you out with so many other things. Maybe you need a ukulele, maybe you need a banjo. I don't know your needs, but they can be filled at Kalido Guitars. Whether you're looking for a new instrument where you're looking for accessories, whether that be cables or strings or gig bags, cases. There's so many things you need when you got a guitar. I protect mine with my life, man. I love my guitars. Not as good a player as I'd love to be. I just kind of look like it. I look like a good guitar player, but I can assure you, you don't want to pay to see me play, right? It's true. But I'm improving. My arm's feeling better, able to play a little bit more. So whether you're looking for an electric, a classical, or an acoustic guitar, you can find it. And they have all grades. They have the beginner models all the way up to professional grade. You can get a Joe Satriani signature model at a discount, right? These are premium instruments at a discounted price because you listen to the show. Visit their website at KalitoGuitars.com and use promo code BSR. Now, you can use that over the phone, in person, or online. And what that's going to do is unlock some savings for you. It's going to get you 10% off of their already low price. That's going to get you no shipping. It's going to get you no sales tax unless you live in the great state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. How about that, right? Number one, it's a Mississippi State owned and operated company. We should be doing business with them anyway. We like to keep business in the family. But when they're making so many incentives to do business, there's no need to look any further than Kalito Guitars for your stringed instrument needs. I love my Steve signature guitar. I love it. It is the most beautiful instrument I have ever owned. Sounds better than anything I've ever played. You need to have the joy of new instrument ownership today. Visit KalitoGuitars.com. Okay, I was trying to find some rock musicians from North Carolina. Tried to find some bands maybe connected to Wake Forest. I said, well, this will give us a chance. We don't do a lot of business with the folks in North Carolina. But hey, let's see if we can't find something that fits. Well, in my search, I stumbled across the fact that Doug Aldrich, and those of you that are big-time rock fans, you know Doug well. Many of you don't. Maybe you've heard him and just don't know his name. Doug's bounced around a little bit. He is from Raleigh, North Carolina, been in the industry now for over 30 years. And he has played with some of the biggest names in rock music. Bands you know. You may have even seen Doug play. Doug's done a lot of great things. And so here's my top 10 Doug Aldrich list. Now, there's going to be some bands here that you're unfamiliar with, that Doug was a part of and kind of worked his way up. Now, one thing I'm going to give you a disclaimer on, I'm going to tip off for Friday. Doug is with the Dead Daisies right now. And John Corabi, of course, former vocalist of The Scream, former vocalist of Motley Crue on that self-titled album. Well, John's back with the Dead Daisies too, and things are going really well. And I had a chance to visit and spend some time with John some time ago. And actually ran his merch table. Like, went over there just to meet him and have dinner and ended up running his merch table and sold some merch for him. And he was incredibly appreciative. And great guy. And everybody that, like, if you've ever been on, like, the rock cruise they do every year, like, Corabi is like the mayor. Like, everybody loves John Corabi. So John fronts that band. We're going to do Dead Daisies Top 10 on Friday, okay? If you like the classic rock sound, and it's weird to call the music we grew up with classic rock, you're going to love the Dead Daisies. And so Doug is also part of Dead Daisies. So no Dead Daisy stuff today. We'll get to that Friday. But here's the top 10 Doug Aldrich tracks, according to me. Now, he did some solo work. I did not include any of that on here. So you may be a Doug Aldrich fan and maybe enjoy the solo stuff. I put the band work in here. Now, so right around the time when music was changing, and I don't know that it necessarily changed in a great way. There were a lot of bands, obviously, that got the late 80s, early 90s, like California sound, was getting very, very watered down. It was. And Doug was part of one of those bands that kind of got some love in the mid-80s, late 80s, with a band called Lion. Lion was really good. but they didn't do a lot to stand out. Now, your list is going to start with a song that you know well. And for many of you, it's going to blow your mind. Your number 10 track is from Lion, and it's the Transformers theme. Yeah, More Than Meets the Eye. You never knew who performed it. Now you do. Lion, with Doug Aldrich on guitar, off the Dangerous Attraction album. We'll have a little more from that album later. Number 9. Early in Doug's career, he actually tried out for Kiss. And he was friends, or he had met, like, Eric Carr's girlfriend. And next thing you know, he's auditioning for Kiss. It didn't work out. And famously, as Doug recounts, that later, after Vinnie Vincent didn't work out, Doug went back and called Gene Simmons, and Gene says, "Hey, lose my number." Yeah, funny. Burning Rain was like the first big thing for Doug. I guess that's a fair way to say it. But Burning Rain, a band that he still works with from time to time, but it's Making My Heart Beat at number 9. Burning Rain's track, Making My Heart Beat. Number 8, and I love this band. And if you are a person that maybe you miss the 80s sound, this band may be for you. And it's a bit of a super group. So you got Jack Blades of Night Ranger. You got Dean Castronova of Journey. And then Doug Aldrich. And I got some studio musicians too. And Alessandro Del Vecchio is part of this. He was part of Hardline, which I love Hardline. Love those guys. Neil Sean was the producer of that first album, Total Eclipse, and actually played guitar on it. But Revolution Saints, still active. And it's just kind of one of these little side projects. And Doug is no longer in the band. Joel Hoekstra, who replaced Doug and Whitesnake, is. And then Jeff Pilsen, of course, from Dokken and Foreigner, also part of this. Again, it's a super group. People kind of come and go. But Revolution Saints, a great track called Locked Out of Paradise off that debut album. They've got three albums, I guess. Five albums now. Yeah, they get three with Doug and two with Joel. But if you miss that 80s sound, you can find it with Revolution Saints. Number 7, a band that Doug has been with kind of on and off for a long time. Put the band together back in 91. The one thing that I will say about this band, I think instrumentation-wise, they're great. The vocal is just rather average, and I hate to be critical of that. The songwriting is just okay, too. And even though they've had a ton of records, they hadn't had a ton of sales, and I think part of that not great songwriting, just average vocals, but the music is great. So we're going to go with If It Ain't Dirty off the debut album. They had an EP called Full Moon Fever, and in most of those tracks made Bad Moon Rising, a self-titled debut album way back in 91. But you can kind of figure this out. Like, the line in the song is, if it ain't dirty, you ain't doing it right. All right, number 6, back to Lion. And again, I think that debut album is probably something you would enjoy if you grew up in the same era as me. Great track called Never Surrender, which is kind of the motto for living, right? All right, number 5, Doug spent some time with Dio. And Doug was actually part of the last album that Dio ever did, full-length album. And he was also the guitarist on the final single ever released by Dio. We'll get to that second. But the great album, the 9th studio album, Killing the Dragon. And so Ronnie said a lot of this too was just kind of about, the dragon itself was kind of like the internet and technology and things like that. Not that he's like a Unabomber guy. But basically, that's what it was, just about how technology and AI and that kind of stuff was a thing to be worried about. And maybe he's right. Some great tracks on here. And again, Ronnie, of course, was kind of working through some health problems at the time. My favorite song on this album was written by Doug Aldrich. It's Along Comes a Spider. And I think you'll have a lot of fun with that one. Now we get to Doug's time, and he was this is a short run here with House of Lords. It was founded by our own Mississippi's own Greg Jafria. If you guys don't know Greg Jafria, what you've done life wrong. Of course, you know, Greg is a guy so incredibly talented. I'd love to meet him someday. So if you know Greg, I would love to like buy him lunch one day or something. I would love to meet Greg Jafria. I've met a lot of cool people in rock music. I've never met Greg. But, you know, Greg, of course, another guy, we've done a top 10 list with him before. You know, he was with Angel for a long time. And he's a keyboard aficionado, man. Incredible. And Greg's 74 years old these days. But great run with Angel, and then he went out on his own and had Jafria, you know, Call to Your Heart. Great, great song. And then he put House of Lords together. Now, they're still active and still producing some great music, but Greg is no longer with them. Greg did three albums with House of Lords. Of course, that self-titled album with the great track, I Just Want to Be Loved, is phenomenal. Phenomenal, in the words of Ben Howland. But Doug sat in here with House of Lords on the album Sahara, and we're going to go with the title track from that album. That's the second album from House of Lords, and that's the same one that has the Blind Faith cover, Can't Find My Way Home. They had a big hit with that one. Okay, number three, the last single ever released, Ronnie James Dio. The last song ever recorded as a band with Dio is a track called Electra. It's probably not quite what you'd expect. It's got the Dio vibe to it and everything. But again, you know, Ronnie was dealing with some stuff at the time. But I really dig the track. I think you will as well. Doug spent some time in Whitesnake. At some point, I think we all have spent some time in Whitesnake. But yeah, Doug has got a ton of albums out. But he is featured on probably more Whitesnake albums than anything. Of course, there's a lot of compilations and live albums and things like that. So it kind of double dips there. But I guess four studio albums, maybe three studio albums. He's on the Good to Be Bad album, and they re-released that. And my favorite track on that is a great song called Can You Hear the Wind Blow from Whitesnake. And it's not a ballad. There's some ballads on there. And I'm still really sad about David Coverdale hanging it up, but really, really grateful to have been alive at the same time he was so we could appreciate the majesty and glory of Sir David Coverdale. And number one, though, I absolutely love this song. I love this album. I love this band. It's just one of those things. There's some bands, like, you just put it on and it just kind of make you grit your teeth and you're just like, you know what, this is just scratching me right where I itch. And, of course, Doug's done a lot of sit-in stuff, too. But he was with the band Hurricane. And if you don't know Hurricane, you should. Hurricane, absolutely phenomenal band. And when I remember the first time that I saw them, like, on MTV, and I was like, I've got to go buy this. And it was the Over the Edge album. I don't own the debut Take What You Want that came out in 85, but Over the Edge, they kind of refined the sound a little bit. And they had the title track Over the Edge, which is the intro on guitar is great. And then I'm On to You. What a great song. And then they released this great album, Slave to the Thrill. And I remember the first time where I was and what I was doing when I heard this song. Slave to the Thrill came out and I was listening to Metal Shop on WRNO. And they debuted the new single, Dance Little Sister. And Doug is the guitarist on this. Ultimately left the band after the recording of the Slave to the Thrill album. I like it a lot. I think there is a rougher edge on Over the Edge. I think the sound got a little more refined with Slave to the Thrill. And in case you don't know, like, when you kind of begin to work through the pathology of this band, Kelly Hansen was the voice behind Hurricane in the early days. And you know, his brother kind of tried to keep it together. Did four albums with them and then bounced around a little bit and then landed with Foreigner. And he has been the voice of Foreigner for nearly 20 years. And just kind of how things work out, you know. So he left Foreigner earlier this year. They have a new vocalist, and you know my feelings about that. It's just kind of weird that there are no longtime members in the band. But Kelly is a great vocalist. And if you go back and listen to some of these live albums from Foreigner in recent years, I think you would agree. So that's your top 10 list today, celebrating the music of Doug Aldrich. And, of course, we'll do Dead Daisies on Friday. If you're unfamiliar, maybe do some homework before we get there. They're a rock band, man. They're a rock band for sure. And I think you'll have a lot of fun with them. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend, on X at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And there are times when we have a little bit of a backlog and then Roy gets caught up. Everybody just relax. It all takes care of itself. Roy's a busy guy too. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you don't know Campus Bookmart, then shame on you, because they have been here for decades serving this great fan base and just kind of rolling out new Mississippi State wares. I mean, if you need Mississippi State merch and you're not buying from Campus Bookmart, you're probably paying too much and not getting the selection you deserve. Visit Campus Bookmart the next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, perhaps game day shopping's not what you want to do, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's internet, and use promo code BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. And Mom, I hate to make you panic. You got 8 days left. The bride told me last night, she goes, I finally got all the kids' stuff done. I procrastinate so much. Well, we're busy running two businesses, so I don't judge her for that. I could always jump on there and buy stuff too, but that's half the fun, right? But all that I understood, you still got a little time. I would suggest maybe shopping in person, but if you can't, be sure and visit them at campusbookmart.net. Everything that we want in life is made better with Maroon. Whether it's that new fashionable quarter zip, the button-up, pullover, just finding things to detail out the fan cave, you can get whatever you need to feel better about being a Mississippi State fan at Mississippi State's premium place to shop, Campus Bookmart. All right, Bulldogs back on the winning side of things in the men's basketball, but I can tell you, that was not a fun game. For those of you that kept up, man, it was not a fun game. Bulldogs win it, and we're never going to look a gift horse in the mouth. We're happy to win. But it got a little dicey at times. It did. I mean, early on, it felt like, ah, we're just going to run over these guys. And they make a run towards the end of the second half. They just refused to go away. We had to play basketball. Long Island now drops to 6-5. Bulldogs elevate their record to 6-5. It was 39-38 at the break. And then State outscores them by three in the second half, and we needed every one of those points. Bulldogs win it 87-83. Long Island, very balanced scoring approach here. Four of their five starters go to double figures. Jamal Fuller led the team in 38 minutes with 18 points, also pulled down 10 rebounds. He was a problem. He was. But thankfully, the Bulldogs had just enough. And Josh Hubbard, in many respects, kind of carried the team. Josh Hubbard, 36 minutes on that ankle. It's still improving. 11 of 23 from the floor. We know he's a volume shooter, and sometimes we just need him to take over a game. He had to last night. 6 of 6 from the line, pulled down a couple of rebounds. The rebounding will get better as his ankle gets better. Also dished out 4 assists and no turnovers. 34 points for Hub last night, almost a point per minute. Jaden Epps continuing to be the Robin to Hubbard's Batman, contributes 20 points in the game. 7 of 7 from the line. And how big was that, right? You know, we didn't get to the line much at all against Utah. We're 23 of 30 last night from the charity stripe. Quincy Boward, pretty good ball game from him. 10 rebounds, 8 points, nearly a double-double. Turned it over once, also had a block, and stayed out of foul trouble. Played 26 minutes of action. But, yeah, we're going to need a little more offensive output from him. But I think last night was a step in the right direction. Sean Jones, of course, kind of a defensive specialist, gets 6 points for us. Akor back in the starting lineup, played just 8 minutes. And then Makura comes in. Nice game for him, a dozen points and 7 rebounds in 25 minutes. Jabari McGee, probably the one mystery from last night. Like, he has that huge game against Utah and sparked the comeback to win that game against Utah. And he gets 11 minutes and 2 points last night. That's one of the things. We get Dave Murray and Jacob Bain that go to post game for us. That's one of the things that it just was perplexing to me, is why didn't McGee get more opportunities? And of course, I mean, you're going to get, shot selection, rotation. You're going to get those type of answers. But I just thought that was interesting. But again, we win, and we're happy to win. Played a lot of people last night, too. And Jan said in postgame, we're still going to kind of tinker a little bit. The thing that I would tell you, I trust Chris Jans. I don't know how much I trust this team, though. And I don't mean that in as maybe as bad as it sounds. I think Jans is doing all he can do, but I think that there's some holes in this team, and there's some times that guys just kind of disappear on us, and some guys that we really need more offensive output from. Like, when I look at this starting lineup from last night, right? Quincy Ballard gets 8 points, Sean Jones gets 6, and then Akor gets 4. Now, again, Akor didn't play a whole lot, but we've got to find a third scorer somewhere. And maybe that's Makura. But we've got to find a consistent third scoring option, because as we get into SEC play, these guys are going to know how to defend hub. They're going to do everything they can to kind of take away the outside game. So we're going to have somebody else kind of step up. You can't have two guys starting regularly that don't do much on the offensive end. Yes, you got to play defense, and that's a tenet of the Chris Jans experience. But somebody else has got to step up and kind of help carry some of the scoring load. Jaden Epps has been phenomenal for us, in the words of Ben Howland. But, we get the dub. We're happy to get the dub. That's 2 in a row. And we felt like maybe the Utah game was a bit of a turning point for us. I don't know if we feel the same way after last night, but it's a win. Bulldogs back in action on Saturday, and this should be a hot ticket. December 20th, 3 p.m., so you've got a chance to get up, make the drive to Starkville, enjoy the basketball game against Memphis. We'll preview that game on Friday's show. We need you here at Humphrey Coliseum again December 20th, this Saturday, 3 p.m., and you can come by and do your last-minute holiday shopping at some of our great Starkville businesses while you're in town. Maybe leave a little bit early, have a nice breakfast here in town, and then do some shopping before you go over and cheer for the Bulldogs. All right, Lady Bulldogs in action tonight. And for those of you that have kept up, and I hope it's all of you, ladies are playing pretty well. And again, we could make the argument we should be undefeated. We've won 6 games in a row. And again, we knew beginning of the year this wasn't going to be a very challenging non-conference schedule. However, we have played well, and we have blown people out. Ladies will take on Alabama State tonight. I don't know if you're big fans of Alabama State Hornet basketball, but again, should be a chance for us to get some things done in this game, get some minutes for some players, and probably rest some folks. But the Hornets are 3-6 this year. Just kind of looking down here to just kind of see what's happened for them. We'll give them the same respect we give every other opponent. They open the season getting blown out by Georgia, 73-44. Then they make the trip to Auburn and get doubled up, 82-41. They beat Talladega College by 17. Lose at West Georgia, 64-61. They lose to Faulkner University by 6. And then Vandy gets them, 92-38. And playing these SEC games for checks, not for wins. All right, Auburn University at Montgomery, they get them 70-41. They play at Baylor and get beat 90-36. And then squeaked by South Carolina State, 59-53 at home. So Friday was good for them. You kind of get a winning taste in your mouth. But they are 0-5 away from their home gym. They will be 0-6 tonight. Tip off at 6:30. Just to kind of give you a brief scouting report of kind of what to expect from this team. They're averaging 55 points a game. given up about 70. So when you're getting outscored about 15 points a game, chances are you're not going to win very many. And some of those blowouts against Power 4 teams obviously skew the numbers, but they really don't shoot it well. Right at 35%. Three-point baskets, not much better. 24%. It's actually worse. I'm looking at the wrong numbers here. But yeah, so you shoot 35% from the floor and 24% from beyond the arc. Make it about 4 3-point baskets a game. That's tough. Not a great free throw shooting team. They shoot 57%. Rebounding has been a bit of a challenge. They've been out-rebounded by about 2 boards a game. They hand out a few assists, but obviously defense is not a strong suit for them. Giving up about 14 assists a game, and you see these numbers. I mean, they just jump off the page. They've turned it over 214 times. That's 24 times a game. Now, granted, to give them credit, they have played an ambitious non-conference schedule. Playing Mississippi State is also an ambitious game. But when they're giving the ball away 24 times a game, you're not going to win. So it's like negative 5.5 when you begin to think about turnovers. Rough. Giving up 23 points per game off turnovers. They got 85 steals, but they haven't handled it really well. Their opponents are pulling down about 12 steals a game. They have blocked some shots, 38, but they've had 48 blocked. Looking inside the numbers individually here, Charlize McClendon leads the team here with 7.9 points a game. They don't have a single player averaging double figures. Now, she wears number 10. She's been somewhat of a part-time starter. She's played in all 9 games. She is a 5'11 power forward out of Ware County High School in Georgia. Post player and also kind of a turnover magnet here. Got 8 blocks but has turned it over 20 times. She leads the team with 23 personal fouls. Also second on the team in rebounding at 4.7 per game. Caitlin Bryant averaging 6.5. Shamaya Reed, 6.5. And so this is basically a team trying to find a sense of itself that doesn't appear to have a real star in the game. So, yeah, I expect State to win this game handily. I think you guys see it the same way. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about, you know, what's next for the Bulldogs as we get into SEC play. So we should be 11-1. Bulldogs went 6 in a row and 8-0 this year at home, making the hump bump again. Really no question about that aspect of it. And then Saturday, if you're in the greater Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, and we'll talk about this game on Friday. So Saturday morning, you can watch Lady Bulldogs take on LaSalle. And then we come home after the Christmas break and close out the non-conference portion of the schedule with that game against Samford. So you feel like State has a real chance to finish this whole thing up here in really good positioning, probably 13-1. That's the hope anyway. And again, you know, we've only played one true road game and we lost it. And again, you guys felt like I do. We should have won that game against Texas Tech. And I guess until we lose another one, we'll keep belaboring that point, right? But Lady's doing a good job too. And one of the things that I love to look at too, you know, as we get towards the opening of SEC play, it's kind of like who's standing out. Because we entered this season not really knowing what to expect. We knew Destiny was going to be back. We knew what to expect from her. She is leading the team with just over 13 points a game. And then Favor Nwodazi, almost 13 points. And Madison Francis, a very talented newcomer, about 11.5 a game. She got 7 starts in 11 games. Chandler Prater, we knew what to kind of expect from her. 10.5, and then Jayla Lampley, 9. So you get 4 players. 3 of those 4 are regular starters. They're averaging double figures or better. And on the women's side, that is significant. It certainly is. Very balanced scoring. Also, Treyana Crisp, a transfer from Ole Miss, pitching in about 8 a game. So, you know, just a couple more baskets here and there, you could have as many as 5 or 6 double-digit scores. So it is very much a shared scoring responsibility. We've played a lot of players. A lot of people get some playing time, and there will be some players tonight. Hopefully, we'll have the opportunity to get some much-needed minutes, you know, to kind of save some wear and tear before we make the road trip here. But, again, the ladies, you know, just kind of quietly going about their business. And as we get into SEC play, we'll find more about what we have. Some big games early, and we're having to make some staffing decisions too about how we're going to staff. And you know, we got a bowl game, and you got the SEC opener for the ladies. So we're going to do our best to do everything, and that's going to be New Year's Day against Auburn. It's going to be a 6:30 tip. So if you're not making the trip to Charlotte, maybe you can turn out and celebrate the new year with the Lady Bulldogs. Auburn's been interesting, for sure. As you guys know, we've kind of got a little bit of a rivalry with them on and off the courts and fields of play. You know, just kind of how life works out sometimes. But that could be a very interesting game. Of course, new leadership there. Johnny Harris, of course, relieved of her duties last year. So a new look Auburn team will come in, but yeah, I think you feel pretty good about the direction of things because we hadn't had marquee matchups in a non-conference, but again, as I've kind of said before, we are not playing down to our level of competition. Outside of that game against Davidson, none of these games that we've won have really been close. I think if we're honest with ourselves about that, I mean, you know, we've pretty much taken care of business. The UL Monroe game was a little bit dicey for a while, but I think that you know the win over Pitt and then the win over Southern Miss are some things that you can look at and say, you know what? Maybe we're trending in the right direction. We don't expect to go compete for a NAFL championship right away, but I think Sam Purcell is kind of settled in and is doing a good job, and that's important for everybody as we kind of move forward. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You've always thought about it, right? You said, man, wouldn't it be so cool? You see these TV shows, you think, man, these movies, wouldn't it be great? We got everybody together and just kind of enjoyed reconnecting. You owe it to yourself to do that. Life is short, death is certain. Make some meaningful memories with the people you know and love. No better place to do it in the Golden Triangle than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will just kind of pop up for you. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of parking, 6 bedrooms, 2 soon to be 3 baths, everything you need to have a great time with friends and family. Whether it's a midweek trip to town for maybe perhaps a basketball doubleheader or a work trip or just a weekend away, consider the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google them, some booking options are going to pop up. That's Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. You'll be glad you did. We stayed there last year for New Year's and had a blast. My mom hit me up and said, hey, can we do it again this year? We couldn't pull it together this year. And, you know, life has a way of working out. I wouldn't have been able to be there anyway because we'd be on our way to Charlotte, North Carolina for the bowl game. So maybe you're not going to Charlotte. Wouldn't it be great? Maybe you could celebrate New Year's at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse and just have like a watch party there. Be sure and check them out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, I had one of you hit me up and said, hey, Steve, appreciated a baseball segment the other day. On the rankings, what do we know about portal classes? Well, we kind of touched on some of this back in the summer, but maybe it's worth kind of going back and revisiting this. Georgia ended up the portal season with the number one portal class in the country. Now, some of that is based on quantity, but there is also what we believe some good quality in that class. Georgia signed 21 players. Right, 21 players, 15 of those 21 are ranked in the top 250 by 64 Analytics, which gets better every year, right? We talked about this in the beginning. It's the only thing we have, but I have spent some time visiting with these folks at ball games. I had a chance to visit with the owner and founder out in Houston last year. Kind of saw how they did things, and it's something they're very serious about. They want to be a credible organization. And every year, it's getting a little bit better. And so they fine-tune the formulas and things like that. But Georgia, 15 top 250 players. So it's basically a complete roster rebuild outside of a few nucleus players that are expected to return. But that's been the Wes Johnson model. And I think in many respects, he mimics what Jay Johnson's done at LSU. On the baseball side, I think I agree with Brian O'Connor that you need to have a nucleus of players that are always with you, and then you supplement from that as you go, right? Tennessee, second. They had nine players. All nine of those are in the top 250. So while not a huge portal class for Tennessee, and they do have some pieces coming back, they added real value in the portal. And then your Bulldogs, number three, 15 portal guys, 10 of those 15 in the top 250. Now, you guys are well aware of what you'd expect. The difference, I think, between Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Georgia is that Tennessee and State have more returners coming in. And Brian O'Connor, of course, brought in many players from Virginia and guys that he had a relationship with. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that impacts the season. Now, South Carolina finished fourth in the country. 19 players signed. 19. Only eight of them are ranked in the top 250. So it appears they have a lot of filler. And again, this is one of those things you look at, you know, maybe tweaking the formula just a little bit. You know, no matter how you do it, there's going to be some classes that skew things one way or another. But Coach Palmieri is obviously on the hot seat there at South Carolina. We will visit there this year. I'm looking forward to that too. Many of you, like me, just love SEC baseball, and you love to root for the Bulldogs on the road. Let me go ahead and kind of put this bug in your ear, because I think that Founders Park is the second best facility in the Southeastern Conference. Now, the crowds are not as rambunctious as they are at Arkansas, at LSU, or even Ole Miss, for that matter. But the facility itself is incredible. And I think if you've never been to Founders Park, you owe it to yourself to go, and that should be a series, a road series, the state can take this year. But that's one that I think you should go ahead and start making some plans to attend. Matter of fact, go ahead and book your rooms now. You can get those rooms or you can cancel later anyway. But I would recommend you taking that trip. Now, number five, and it's funny, all of these teams, the first half dozen in the national rankings are all from the SEC, including number five, Auburn. Not a huge portal class. Nine players in, six in the top 50. So, again, I think Auburn, because of a young nucleus of players, as we mentioned, will be better than a lot of people anticipate. They had a couple of years there on the pitching side where they really had some injuries. And yeah, you got to replace Irish and McMurray. Those are big bats. But they got some young players that they feel really good about. And so they've supplemented there. Now, right behind them is Alabama with nine new portal players, but six in the top 250. And some of these rankings we're not going to agree with. But I think, again, it's a cross-section of opinions based on analytical data, and it's the best we have. So we're gonna run with that. Our first non-SEC team is Virginia, ironically. They had 15 players leave, and they added 13 from the portal. And, of course, many of those are from Duke, you know. Kind of like the O'Connor model, right? Some Virginia players went to Mississippi State. Some Duke players went to Virginia. So, good hire. Only six of those, so just under half, ranked in the top 250. And then right behind them is Kentucky. And Nick has kind of made – I don't know that Nick Mangione, who I love, gets enough respect – for what he does in the portal. And you can say whatever you want to about the on-the-field antics, but you can't dispute the fact that God knows how to put a good quality baseball team on the field. Nick kind of recruits in his own image. He recruits these guys that have a bit of a chip on their shoulder and something to prove, and he brings them in and uses a little machismo and some mechanical adjustments, and then makes them better ball players. And a lot of times Kentucky goes out and gets these guys that maybe have done it at a lower level, at a high analytical standpoint, and they bring them in and then acclimate them to the speed of the game. Florida State at 9, Oklahoma at 10, another SEC team. And then you got to get down. You know, LSU has kind of been the portal kings in recent years, but just 9 portal players this year. So not a huge portal class. Of course, they won the national championship last year. You can hardly argue against what Jay Johnson has done, but only 5 of those players in the top 250. I think this LSU team, preseason number 2 in the eyes of some, I think is a bit overrated. It's LSU. They're going to be great. They're going to be in the mix. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. But I don't think this is a national championship caliber team when you consider what they lost on the pitching side. 14 is Florida. Kevin O'Sullivan returning from his leave of absence just before the holiday season, just to kind of get things in order, I guess, before people begin to return for the semester. But whatever's going on in Kevin O'Sullivan's life, we hope it gets fixed. But I think Florida will have that kind of hanging over their heads. And again, I think this could be, if it is not a great year, could be the end of the ride. Texas comes in at 15, and then Arkansas, our friends in Northwest Arkansas, come in at 18. 8 portal players this year. And again, they got a pretty good nucleus of players returning, and I'll never bet against Dave Van Horn, ever, ever. A couple things that I think is interesting, too, as we look at the number of portal players that are brought in. We talked about Georgia having the most in the country at 21 and South Carolina at 19. Lamar and Gardner-Webb right there with them. And then Duke, obviously, you know, Mascara gets that job. And they have 18 guys kind of rebuilding the roster there. And so it's just interesting to me how everybody approaches this. Right? I mean, because, you know, some teams don't go out and get a bunch of portal guys. They just kind of stick with what they have. Some people kind of supplement. And then other people are very reliant on the portal, much like Georgia is, to kind of build a team this year. You know, it's always about this year. They've almost kind of taken the junior college model and in some respects the football model now, and we'll see how that works. I mean, it's gone pretty good for Georgia in the regular season the last couple of years, but in postseason play, they have not been able to kind of get things done. And I think Wes is a great coach. Obviously, he was rumored for our job. And, you know, we shared that news pretty early on that he wasn't coming here. And a lot of that, too, I think was I think Wes wanted to come here, despite what he may tell you. And we just simply couldn't work it out. But, you know, looking at you know, recent postseason appearances for them, obviously they've been in the tournament 2024 and 2025. They get eliminated in the regional last year. They win the regional in 24 and then can't get to Omaha. Georgia Bulldogs have not been to the College World Series since 2008. To me, that is inexcusable. Like, if I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, as much as I love football, I mean, how can we be so average in baseball for so long when we are probably in the biggest hotbed of recruiting in the Southeast, unless it's Florida, right? I mean, Georgia is a baseball-crazy state. And, of course, back in 08, they played for it all and didn't win it. But it'll be interesting to see if this is sustainable and really how much Georgia people care, you know, about baseball. You know, we've got a lot of fair-weather fans around the conference, and so you kind of root for the logo. So whatever's winning, you're a full supporter of that. But thanks for the question. And again, just kind of revisiting that and kind of real quickly here as we look at the SEC. Stan, if I can get this thing to work. Let's see if we can get it to work here. Let's see. We'll try. Yeah, I mean, there's just a handful of schools here that didn't do quite as well, you know, and I'm trying to get that pulled up here for you just so we can accurately speak about that. And so, as we mentioned, you know, Oklahoma's right there, you know, at 10, and then we get down to A&M at 12, LSU at 13, Florida 14, Texas 15, and I still think Texas is going to be really good. Arkansas is 18, and then it kind of drops off a little bit. Ole Miss down at 42 in the portal. They signed 7 players in the portal, and they returned some big pieces offensively. It'll be interesting to see what they look like on a pitching mound outside of Hunter Elliott. And I don't know what his long-term plans are, but it feels like if he wanted to play pro baseball for a while, he would have already signed. But, you know, I don't know his feelings or, you know, whatever his long-term plans may be. But it's just not what maybe I think people expected to be 3 years ago. We wish him the best. No hard feelings against him. But you got to work really hard to get down to the bottom of the barrel hill. And of course, that's Missouri at 129. So not a great portal class, I think, for Ole Miss. But again, maybe Mike Bianco feels good about what he's got coming back. And obviously, the Rebels took a good step in the right direction last year. But all I know is that Mississippi State baseball is primed for a big season. There are some people out there that now that believe that Mississippi State should make it to Omaha. I think you and I probably agree, but now we're starting to get some national support for that. But we got to go play games. That's the thing about baseball. You know, it's the thing about sports. It's a scoreboard. Doesn't matter what everybody thinks. It's about how everybody plays. And so we're excited to kind of get going. All right, before we get out of here, I would be remiss. Some of you saw yesterday the tragedy over in Hoover, Alabama, as local prep reporter Christina Chambers was the victim of what appears to be a murder-suicide thing. I don't know anything about details other than that, but they, the three-year-old was kind of left to fend for himself. And it's one of those things, too, that we spend some time talking about this just because this is a real-world thing, right? I don't know who she married. I've seen some names out there. I don't know their relationship. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm not going to sit here and project that I do. But here's the thing that I will tell you guys. Your relationships, like it's one of those things in recovery we talk about, we don't want you to have a relationship the first year because you got to get your legs back under you. You know, and I violated the rule. I'm just going to be honest with you. But relationships are a big trigger. And not just for people in recovery. Relationships can be a trigger for negative behavior for anybody. And so I'm going to share this with you because I think it's important. And maybe you know this intellectually, but you need to know it emotionally as well and spiritually, that there is nothing she can do, nothing that she can do that is worth your life. And ladies, there is nothing he can do that is worth your life. I have known some friends that have gone through some divorces that if they made a Dateline NBC episode out of it, they'd have to make it NC-17. And that's how vicious and how brutal some of this can be. And again, I don't know the circumstances behind these situations. And everybody was, mental health. Listen, mental health is extremely important. I'm a proponent of mental health. But let's not excuse evil for mental health. There are bad people in the world. For some people, that seems to be so difficult to accept. We want to believe that everybody's good. Well, they're not. I mean, we learn very early in life, when we first start going to church, that everybody's born of a sinful nature. There's truth in that. And some people never overcome that. Just imagine how you react when somebody cuts you off in traffic. And even if you don't say it, even if you don't throw that finger up, even if you don't utter the words to yourself, there's a moment there where, as the Pentecostals say, you get in the flesh. It's true. But there is no relationship, zero relationship, that is worth your life or their life. Period. No matter how angry you may get, no matter what the other person may have done, it's not worth this. And now there's a three-year-old little boy who was left in the home with his deceased parents that will have to live with this and without them for the rest of his life. And even if you don't love yourself enough, my hope is that you'll love your child enough not to be part of something like this. Can you only begin to imagine? If he didn't have family around him, I'd go adopt him myself. It is a heartbreaking story, and unfortunately, it has become far too common. So again, if you are thinking of hurting yourself or others, dial 988. That is a suicide prevention number, but it's also a mental health line. And talk to somebody. I have had friends. I have a friend right now that is raising a child that is not his. As a de facto stepfather because of an affair that his wife had. And not everybody has that in them. I don't know if I'm big enough or strong enough to handle that level of betrayal. But at the end of the day, that kid didn't ask for any of this. And he's being raised in a home, and he's loved. And I can tell you, man, the thought of walking out there every day and having a daily reminder of your wife's infidelity, that would be very, very difficult to live with. But worst case scenario, you get divorced. And there are some people, obviously, egos get involved. And, you know, it's like, I can't believe they've done this to me. And you know what? Those feelings are valid. They absolutely are. We're never, ever, ever going to excuse that. But at the end of it all, life is long. Life is, if we let it be, right? And so it's important to understand that no matter how bitter you may feel in the moment, to not lose sight of the bigger picture. I've been mad enough to kill somebody before. I just hadn't done it. You know, when I went to jail, right, I had a co-conspirator that dropped down on all of us, right, to save themselves. The guy was just wild, man. It's like he got caught doing some stuff non-related to me and got arrested and then dropped down on all of us. And then he was able to basically skate with probation while the rest of us went to jail. And and first of all, I was guilty, right? Let's understand that. But I saw him at Cloverleaf Mall. And this was in the middle of me trying to get my act together. And he was drunk, and he comes up, and he's crying and apologizing to me and, you know, blaming the cops and everything else. And the truth of the matter is, in that moment, if I could have gotten him alone, I probably would have killed him. I was facing 40 years. I was. And I thought, hey, if I got to go away for 40, I may as well go away for life. That's how I felt in the moment. I was very angry. I was with some other people, and so the moment passed, and I haven't seen that guy since then, which years ago, that was probably a blessing. And it's so funny, out of the blue, about a year ago, he sent me a Facebook request. You know, nah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. But I use that, my own personal experience, to share with you. I know what that feels like to have that burden of unbridled anger, but you just don't do it, man. You just don't do it. There's nothing soft in walking away. There's nothing soft. As a matter of fact, that's the tougher thing to do a lot of times, is to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to throw my life away over this, or over this person, or over this circumstance. You know, that's one of the things that separates us from the animals, right? You know, the animals don't really have that type of self-awareness at times. They'll fight to the death. And sometimes we will too. But to have the courage to walk away and live another day and rebuild your life is a much better scenario. And it's also obvious when we're calm, right? Well, you and I can sit here. Well, yeah, Steve, it all makes sense. Yeah. But, you know, wait till it's you. But everybody knows what to do until, like, your emotions run wild, right? And all of a sudden, reason leaves your cognitive thinking process. And all of a sudden, that with the prefrontal cortex just kind of takes over. And you're thinking about right now, like the immediate threat right now. All I know is this person hurt me, so I want to hurt them even worse. That is a very natural, primal reaction to negative human interaction. But we just don't do it. And one of the reasons that I don't do those things is because I fear God. I do. Love and fear God because I understand the way that I'm supposed to act. Don't always do it, but in matters such as this, it is better to simply get in the car and drive away. It is. Go and be around people that love you. You will not be the first person to ever get a divorce. You will not be the first person that has ever reached the end of a relationship and realized that you've made a mistake. You won't be the first person that's ever been cheated on. All of that's important to understand. We get so caught up thinking our pain is unique, and it's not. Don't die of terminal uniqueness, and certainly don't bring anybody with you and leave a child behind that will have to navigate through this the rest of his life trying to figure out why. Yeah. All right, if you haven't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all of my sports titles. It's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, in addition to the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. You can get two floats for $89. It's a two-for-one special. You get up to 6 months to use them. The phone's been ringing off the hook, but you know what? Let's not give her a break. You need some last-minute gift ideas, buy some floats, 662-268-7601. You can stop by and speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. Or you can call her on the phone and get all the information you need. You'll be glad you did this. And we got some of you have people in your lives that are very generous. We've had some people buy as many as 20 of these packages to give away. So you may get floats for Christmas. You're welcome, right? Come be a part of it. And of course, we're running the 50% off the annual subscription price to jeanspage.com throughout New Year's. I think we'll get through the bowl game. And then we'll go back to regular pricing. And so if you're looking to kind of cash in, now's a good time to do it. So three great gift ideas, the books, the floats, and the Jeans Page access that will get you all the way through next football season. Yeah, won't get you through bowl practices next year unless you renew. But to have the greatest coverage of Mississippi State sports and the history of the university available at your fingertips is a great way to begin and end your day. We keep you abreast of everything. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.